you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my body. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. We consider verses 28 and 29. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Certainly a fitting text for the occasion this evening, not only that it is what we call a preparatory Sunday, but on the occasion of a confession of faith that opens up the Lord's Supper to an individual, that we consider this text this evening, which contains the well-known text that is the source of our practice of self-examination with a view to the Lord's Supper. And that gives us occasion also to see once again why this injunction is given unto us, what was the occasion, and to remember the truth of what self-examination is about over against a lot of notions among us that are erroneous. It also gives us opportunity to remember how important this is to our spiritual health. Important even to the eating and drinking of the Lord's Supper itself. The apostle, when he gives this specific injunction, does so in order to correct a problem that he saw or found out about or heard about in the church at Corinth. That problem that he was addressing is that many, many members in the church were what he calls weak and sickly and sleeping. Now, he isn't referring simply to physical weakness and sleepiness, although that might have been a part of it, because often spiritual sleepiness manifests itself by physical sleepiness, for example, in church. Usually if we're sleeping in church physically, it's due to the fact that we are sleeping spiritually. But that was the problem. Now, that manifested itself in a number of ways. That weakness, that sickness, that sleepiness was really a vicious cycle in their lives. Where they were sleepy was especially under the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is the chief means of grace. Because they were sleeping when the holy gospel was preached, they were not receiving it. They were not receiving its nourishment. Therefore, they also were not participating rightly in the Lord's Supper. And the result is they're weak and sickly, meaning they were not doing what they were called to do as Christians. And they were falling into sins that they ought not to fall in. In fact, were probably living in those sins. They had become accustomed to those sins. Those sins were growing in their lives, in fact. Perhaps even threatened the entire existence of the church, making the church itself weak and sickly. It was even manifest in how they participated in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper itself had degenerated simply into a grand feast, a banquet. People came, brought their own food. Some went hungry, while others gorged themselves in gluttony. Yet others were drunken. The apostle, when surveying the weakness and the sickness of the congregation and their sleepiness and how they were observing the Lord's Supper, put his finger on the problem. The essential problem, the root problem, which is they were not examining themselves. That examination was judgment, consisted of judgment. And that's why he says what he does right after this, right after he says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged by God." Their weakness, their sickness, their sleepiness, their behavior, their sinfulness was the judgment of God. God had brought that upon them. And God had brought that upon them because they would not judge themselves. That's what he's referring to when he's speaking of this examination. This need not be a problem simply in the church of Corinth, but this is recorded in Holy Scripture because this is a problem in all churches. This can happen with any of us. Over against this, the apostle calls the church, both then and now, calls them and calls us to examine ourselves. He doesn't simply call us to eat and drink. He doesn't say now, if you're weak and sickly, eat and drink of the Lord's table because that is nourishment, but examine yourselves. And so eat and drink. It goes right along with it. And without examining ourselves, we are not really eating and drinking. So consider that with me this evening, that word from the apostle, examine. Examine yourself. And so eat and drink. We notice the calling, the necessity, and finally the possibility. Calling of the apostle, and we may add here, since the apostle references the fact that what he delivered to them came from the Lord Jesus himself. Jesus himself had delivered to Paul personally instruction on the Lord's Supper. That's what he informs us. And part of that is this matter of examination. So this calling, not simply from Paul, but from Jesus himself, whom we partake of in the supper, is to examine ourselves and so eat and drink. Now the first thing that we have to understand is what he does not mean, what he is not referring to. This calling here to examine ourselves is not what we often suppose it to be. The calling to examine ourselves is, in the first place, not the calling to examine everyone else, but to examine ourselves. Sadly, that's precisely what is often in many of our minds when we read the form on self-examination or we consider it. We're not busy examining ourselves. We're busy examining everyone else. We want to know if this person or that person is going to participate and whether or not they ought to. It is not unheard of for a member, after the Lord's Supper has been handed out and participated in, for a member to say, did this person or that person participate? Which is a foolish question and cannot be answered. What they want to know is if someone's under censure. I heard something. I want to know if they're under censure. And that question may not be answered. Nor is it relevant. Examine yourself, man, should be the answer. But neither is this calling to examine ourselves merely limited to examining my sin. This is a common misperception. And it's easy to understand that that might be our conception of examination, because that's the first thing mentioned in the form when explaining self-examination. But oftentimes, that's all we can think of. When we think about self-examination, when we think about preparatory, we say to ourselves, my main calling is to examine myself with regard to sin. I'm called to examine myself and my sins and the curse due to me for them. And the problem is, we suppose that that's the main calling. The main calling is simply to look inside myself, look at my life, and look at my sin, and do I understand the curse due to them? That may be a part of the calling. It is a part of the calling. But it's not the calling. Not completely or even mainly. Nor is the calling merely to conduct an examination of myself to see whether or not I ought to participate. That too is an idea that's crept into the church. Emphasis on examination such that everyone really should always be examining themselves whether or not they ought to partake. Which leads to thinking to oneself whether this sin or that sin is great enough to bar someone from the Lord's table. And that's really not the idea of self-examination. In fact, the instruction of Holy Scripture in our creeds is exactly the opposite. Not participating ought to be rare indeed. And if you doubt me on that, simply look at the church order and read there what is necessary even for a consistory to bar somebody from the Lord's table. They may not do that simply, easily, or lightly. And neither we should eat with regard to ourselves. The fact is, the calling here is not examine yourself to see if you can eat or drink, but examine yourselves and so eat and drink. Eating and drinking is part of the calling. Understand that? The Lord's Supper ought not be something that we easily exclude ourselves from, as if it's a matter of choice, or simply because we have sinned that leads to all kinds of problems. The Lord's Supper is the official means that Christ appointed to be nourishment of our soul, to strengthen and to encourage something that we already receive in the preaching. And in fact, the truth of the Lord's Supper is that the Lord does this exactly to accommodate our weakness. Understand that. What comes to us in the preaching, through our ears, that which comes to us in the form of sometimes pretty complex concepts, truths and doctrines, sometimes cannot be fully appreciated or understood. One is so weak. And especially in this context, that's the point. So weak they were, so sickly were they. They were sleeping during the preaching of the Holy Gospel, spiritually. And the calling to fix that, to rectify that, isn't simply now listen up more. But the idea is we have to get back to basics, the very simple things. So here now is the Holy Gospel in picture form. Here is the Holy Gospel in sacramental form, as simple as God can make it. Here's his body, here's his blood. Eat and drink, and you are strengthened. You are strengthened by participation in him, by communion in him. It's all there. In picture form, not now received basically through the ears, but through the other senses. That's what the form gets at when it says that the faith by which we participate is a faith that can say this. Here's a piece of bread. As much as I know this is a piece of bread because I can smell it and I can feel it and I'm about to taste it, must I believe that Jesus has shed his blood and broken his body for me? And that even as I'm eating this piece of bread and drinking this wine, I believe certain things. It's especially the Lord's Supper that we ought not lightly or easily remove ourselves from, citing certain weaknesses. It's exactly because of our weaknesses that we ought to be participating in the supper. And so the calling isn't simply examine yourself or even examine yourself to see if you ought to partake, but examine yourselves and so eat and drink. I hope I have made myself clear. The Lord calls us and the church to show his death till he come, to show that by our participation, to show that in our eating and drinking by faith. The specific calling, as I said, is to examine ourselves. That is the object. Examine yourself and so eat and drink. But to understand more precisely what the apostle means, he tells us when he says that those who were not doing this were not discerning the Lord's body. What that means is that to examine yourself is simply another way of saying discern the Lord's body. Imagine if we thought of self-examination that way. Instead of having a part of the form that's called self-examination part, it's called discerning the Lord's body part. Because that's what he means. The discernment is a judgment, and a judgment or understanding concerning the Lord's body. Now, what does that mean? Well, in the first place, it means discern the Lord's body as it's presented in the elements. When you eat and drink, the question is, are you discerning the Lord's body as you eat and drink? Now, this is what we call the second part of the Lord's Supper form. That second part of the form explains to us very carefully, do you understand what those elements represent? Do you understand the spiritual reality, the invisible reality that is being signified by these sacramental elements? That's in the first place what the apostle means. It means understanding that that broken bread and that poured out wine represent the spiritual reality of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Discerning the Lord's body with regard to that means understanding the need for that, the need to eat and drink Jesus Christ, and what is done through that, that it represents the payment of sins already made, that this payment is sufficient for all of my sins, that it's done in my stead. And it's this kind of discernment that really explains why we do not allow children to eat and drink. The truth of the matter is, eating and drinking requires discernment of the Lord's body. Not simply self-examination as such, but discernment of the Lord's body. Truly understanding, truly knowing what the Bible teaches about the sacrament itself. Secondly, discerning the Lord's body with regard to my own body. The idea is whether I can discern whether or not the body into which I take the elements also belongs to the Lord and is the body of the Lord in that sense. That's brought out in a rather unusual way in the text, not so easy for us to see it. But in the text, the idea of discerning the Lord's body is closely related to our own body. Talking about eating and drinking the Lord unworthily. And the idea is that when we partake of Christ in the communion, when we eat and drink him, then our body belongs to Him not only, but that's the body that's being nourished. In other words, here is where discerning the Lord's body turns now to ourselves. And it explains why. When you look at the form for self-examination and you ask yourself, why are these particular questions there? The answer is because there's a relationship between the broken body of Jesus Christ and His shed blood that you eat and drink, and your own body and your own soul. We can include those together. And so, when the Lord says, examine yourselves, that is, do you discern the Lord's body? It's asking a question like this. Do I discern my own sin? Do I discern the curse that is due for that sin? And do I discern that it's removed by the body and blood of Jesus Christ? Do I discern that my sins are so great that they deserve temporal and eternal punishment? Do I discern that they deserve the curse of God? Do I discern now that God so loved me that He gives His only begotten Son and His body? Do I discern the faithful promise of God concerning my life and His? Do I discern that all my sins are forgiven only for Christ's sake, that is, by grace? Do I discern, do I know, do I understand the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ is given to me as my own possession? As if, in an amazing statement in the Lord's Supper form itself, as if I paid for my sins myself. That kind of discernment. Do I discern that I am committed to showing a true thankfulness to God in my whole life by walking uprightly before Him? Do I discern the Lord's body so that I say to myself, I must lay aside, without faking it, all enmity and hatred and envy against my neighbor, and so that I walk in love and peace with my neighbor? Now recognize what our Lord's Supper form, that is really explaining this, and what I'm showing to you is that those questions in the form aren't simply about sin. They have to do with the Lord's body. They have to do with the Lord's body in relationship to me. And certainly that includes sin. But it's about the Lord's body. And what the apostle is saying is, now, discernment of the Lord's body is not simply a matter of whether or not I believe it is sufficient to forgive my sins. Discernment of the Lord's body is more than that. How often do we come to the Lord's table and we're thinking about the Lord's body, and we're examining ourselves, the only thing that we think about, and it's very important, don't get me wrong, it's the first thing mentioned, is whether or not Christ has forgiven my sins. And the apostle is saying there's something else you need to remember. That body you've been eating and drinking should be nourishment for you, should be strength for you, strength to live a certain way, strength to do certain things that you otherwise cannot do, or avoid doing things you shouldn't be doing. And do you believe that? That's the whole point of the third question and answer, or the third thing that we're going to read about it. When it says, are you resolved? Are you dedicated to live this way? Why does it ask that question? Simply so that we can say to ourselves, well, yes or no. I've got a 50% level of sin, and I think that's adequate now to come to the Lord's table. We have it all wrong. The question is, when you examine yourself and when you examine the Lord's body, do you consider not simply the matter of the forgiveness of sin that comes to the Lord's Supper, but the power of the Lord, or the strength of the Lord, the real nourishment that comes through that supper? Do you consider it? Are you discerning with regard to it? And the point of the apostle is, if you don't, you are not discerning the Lord's body. And the result is, you will be sick and weakly and sleeping. Now, there's another thing with regard to discerning the Lord's body, and that's as it pertains to the church. So there's a discernment about the Lord's body, number one, with regard to the elements itself. Do you understand how it's being represented here. Do you understand the meaning of the sacrament? In the second place, it's the discernment of the Lord's body as I take it into my own, as I take it into my own soul and body, and how it affects me, both with regard to the forgiveness of sins and a holy life. And then thirdly, do you discern the Lord's body with regard to the church? Now, sad to say, our questions for self-examination do not address that in so many words. They do, and our form does address the matter when later on it gets to the body and blood of Christ and explaining what it's all about. It turns to the church, and it talks about the fact how we are all united by one Spirit. You know the part of the form that I'm talking about. Now, it's doing that because our fathers have a real good understanding what discerning the Lord's body is all about. And what's the body of the Lord? It's the church. The amazing thing about the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is here is the church, which is the body of Jesus Christ, eating the body of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Here is the church that is established and founded on the grace and the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ in his broken body and shed blood, and that now nourishes that very body, which is the church. Do we understand that? Do we discern that? To the point where even when we're doing self-examination, when we're examining ourselves, we make that connection. We say to ourselves, even though I'm examining myself, I'm discerning the Lord's body. And with regard to the Lord's body, this isn't just about me. I'm not coming to the Lord's table with simply a selfish attitude about how it's going to benefit me in some way, but in benefiting me, how it benefits the church. Do we have that kind of discernment? Now, why is this important and necessary? Well, so that we eat and drink worthily. Notice how the apostle connects them. If you examine yourself and so eat and drink, you drink worthily. If you don't, you drink unworthily. That's the clear meaning of the text. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. The condemnation, the judgment that he fails to make falls on him. That's why the apostle could go on to say, if we would judge ourselves, examine ourselves, if we would discern the body as we ought, then the Lord wouldn't have to do that for us. Now, about that phrase, eat and drink worthily. The idea is not that by examining ourselves, or because we examine ourselves, we earn the right to receive the blessings of the supper. That's not what unworthily means in Scripture. That's impossible. It's impossible because true self-examination, as we're going to read in the form, sets forth that this salvation is by grace, that eating and drinking Christ is all of grace. So it can't be worthiness in that sense. The idea of worthiness in Scripture means in a way that's in harmony with or appropriate with. It refers to partaking in a manner that is appropriate to the meaning of the Lord's Supper. That's what it means. And the apostle is saying, if you want to eat properly, in a way that's appropriate, you mothers know that what that means even in your own house, right? There's a way for your children to eat at your table that's appropriate, that's right, that's in keeping with who they are as your children. And then there's a way that's not. And that's what the apostle's saying. He's saying the appropriate way, the right way, the way that is in harmony with whatever this supper is and whatever it means, what you gain and learn by discernment, is worthy to examine yourself and so eat and drink. Now, certainly, there can be individuals who come to the supper unworthily because their view is that of entitlement. And the idea of entitlement, I mean that the basis or the ground upon which they have the right to eat or drink is all based on themselves. They come to the supper with the sense that they themselves earned that place at the table by keeping themselves from many sins, by doing many things, perhaps even because they did self-examination of themselves. Now I have the right to the table. I've earned that right. I've gained that right. That would be wrong. We are entitled to the table, which is why a consistory cannot take away that right very easily. and why I warned against removing ourselves from the table of the Lord very easily. It has to do with the fact that we do have a right, but that right is grounded in Christ. The idea of eating and drinking worthily is really the same thing as examine yourself and so eat and drink. The idea is that the worthy manner of participating in the Lord's Supper is by discerning the Lord's body as we eat and drink, with the understanding that these are pictures of the spiritual reality, that my own sin is the cause, that my salvation is the result. We must come eating and drinking by faith in Christ alone, in love for God alone, humbly, without pretense or entitlement. That's what it means to eat and drink worthily. And it happens to mean the same thing as examine yourself and so eat and drink. Recognize this too, the connection between eating and drinking and examining yourselves. Here too is where we could make a mistake, partly because of our practice and tradition of conducting a self-examination through the week, or perhaps reading the form the week before. There's nothing wrong in that. But you understand that's not the meaning of the apostle here, and nor is that the meaning that's portrayed in our form. Many ask from time to time, well, if we're going to read this part of the form on self-examination the week before, why can't we just not read that portion? Because it portrays the real meaning of the form. You're not reading that form very carefully. If you read that form very carefully portrays exactly the meaning of the apostle here. Did you catch that? He doesn't say, examine yourself, and then a week later, eat and drink. He doesn't say, examine yourself several days before, and then eat and drink. He says, examine yourself, and so eat and drink. That is, examine yourself even as you are eating and drinking. Examine yourself at that moment, at that place in time, as you enter the Lord's sanctuary and the table is sitting there before you, as you have the bread in your hand and the cup in your hand, as the wine is going down your throat and the bread is going into your gullet. Examine yourself. Do you understand what you're eating and drinking? Do you understand what it's there for? Do you understand what it does to you? Do you understand all the benefits that are? And do it at that time. And now when we read the form next week, take note of that. That form very carefully presents even the matter of self-examination with the table prepared right in front of you. It doesn't say examine yourself with a view to the table being prepared next week, or sometime in the future, but examine yourself at that moment, right now. That's the idea of examining yourself. And that's why eating and drinking worthily is virtually the same thing as examining yourself and so eating and drinking. They're parallel lines exactly because they're going on at the same time. It's why it doesn't talk about examining yourself worthily, or examine to see if you're worthy. But even the eating and drinking has to do with worthiness, that is, appropriateness. Are you just taking the food and the drink and just slugging it down for whatever reason, out of a sense of entitlement, as some sort of magic potion? Perhaps only with the understanding that this is the forgiveness of my sins, but it's not really my life. That's what was not going on in Corinth, and the apostle knew it. And what's really amazing is he says that when you're not doing that, God is judging you. When you eat and drink, therefore, what's going on is God is judging you. We forget that. That if we don't examine ourselves, if we don't judge ourselves, if we don't discern the Lord's body when we eat and drink, what we eat and drink is that judgment that we ought to be doing. When we're not thinking about Christ and what he's done, when we're not thinking about all the benefits of that, that's part of the necessity. And we have to understand that, because I don't think we often do. Corinth is not the only church that has weak and sickly and sleeping Christians. Perhaps we do here. Perhaps you are. It's not unheard of. in the Protestant Reformed churches, where you have an individual living in sin, living in it, not falling into sin, living in it. And not for a month or two, but for years. Can't break an addiction. Alcohol that's consuming them, costing their job, their family, and all kinds of things. Drug problems. Individual who abused children for years. Abused their wife or their husband. Are nasty people in the church. They don't fall into these sins. They're living in them. They're not getting better. They're getting worse. Worse to the point where they may get caught. And we scratch ourselves and say, what happened here? This is what happened. This is what happened. An individual came to the Lord's table 4 times a year. And did this for years. Not discerning the Lord's body. May even have come saying, well, I'm participating and I really enjoy the fact that my sins are forgiven. They may have perhaps believed that, I have no doubt. But never considered that that body was their strength. And it is that, not maybe that, it is that. You are eating and drinking your strength and your power. And the apostle is saying, ask yourself, man, why are you living in that sin? Why can you not overcome it? Why does it have power over you? Why do you just say to yourself, well, I'm glad those sins are forgiven. And then even that goes away. Because when the gospel comes along and preaches that, do you know your sins are forgiven? The man has fallen asleep. He shuffles into church, he shuffles out of church. It goes in one ear and out the other. There's no joy of salvation. There's no gladness of soul. And that person's in a vicious, vicious cycle. Now, that person may or may not be a child of God. I don't know. Well, let God determine that. But the apostle is well aware that there are people that do that and sleep themselves right to hell. They eat and drink judgment all the way to the judgment of hell. One of the reasons is because they ignored the Lord's judgments right then and there. Take note of that in the passage. The apostle makes clear that for the people of God, those judgments are his chastisements. They are intended to wake a man up who's sleeping. They are meant to take a man who is sick and weakly and bring him to the brink of death so that he recognizes what in the world is going on here. Then they're chastisements. They're in reality actually blessings. We can be thankful for that. But it also happens. Individuals came to eat and drink of the Lord's body, never really examining themselves and so eating and drinking, never really discerning the Lord's body, saying to themselves, I'll take this but not that. And they're so weak and sick, they die. They die eternally. They die in the fires of hell. What's the solution? Examine yourself. Don't examine yourself simply about sin, not simply with whether I may come or not come. No, part of it is eat and drink. But discern the Lord's body. Understand what it is that you are eating and drinking. And what happens when you eat and drink by faith? And what happens when you don't? Now, what's the possibility of that? Shouldn't take that for granted. Because it's not possible for you and me. Anybody who knows anything about sin and the Lord's Supper and why we need it, here's the Lord presenting us the Lord's Supper, all of his people. That's some kind of humbling recognition. The Lord saying to us, really, well, you're all weak. Yes, it's true. Man does not live by bread alone. He lives by the word of God. But sometimes, well, really, with all God's children, in one way or another, we're so weak, we need the supper. We all do. The most mature of us needs the supper. It is that plain, it is that simple. But having the discernment of it, we don't have any of that in and of ourselves. God has to do it. God has to bring that to us. How much is that true? Well, that explains the Lord's judgments, doesn't it? So much is that true that if we want to live that way and continue that way, want to come to the Lord's table without really examining ourselves in any real sense, the Lord will have the last word. As the apostle says, if we don't judge ourselves, he will judge us. And in that is the possibility, too, for a child of God. But now, many, many believers also truly examine themselves. How can they do that? And the answer is, because they participate in Christ. They belong to Christ. Christ has given us a new man. Part of that examination involves that new man. The new man is examining the old man. And the new man can do that because of the life of Christ within it. The new man in Christ lives by faith and only by faith. A faith that can stand before God in the judgment because it believes it's forgiven for Christ's sake. A new man that doesn't trust in its own righteousness or even its own good works, not even in examining itself, trusts in the promises of God. That man can conduct an examination of himself. That man can. The old man can't. The new man, for example, in Psalm 139, comes boldly before God and says, God, examine me. How can you do that? Because it believes I'm righteous in Jesus Christ. Also understands that whatever good is done, whatever one is able to do, is done by God's grace and strength. So, your calling, not just this week, but next Sunday morning, is examine yourselves and so eat and drink. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy tender mercies, for thy word, and for thy grace. Apply it to our hearts and give us strength to examine ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn now to that.